And we want to read just a few verses from the middle of the chapter, from verse 7. So Matthew chapter 7 and the verse 7. There we read, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." Let's just seek the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Father, we thank thee again for thy precious truth, for the word of God that we hold in our hands, that we are able to read, to study and to meditate upon. We thank thee for this blessed book that brings to us the very words of God. We ask that as we come to study them now and to recite and to reflect upon its truths, oh, that thy Holy Spirit would be our teacher and lead us in the way that is everlasting, bringing us closer to thy Son and rejoicing once more in thy grace and favour. Be our teacher, we pray. We ask in our Saviour's name. Amen. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. This morning I would like to speak on the subject of unanswered prayer. Unanswered prayer. I heard a story. I don't think it's true. You can judge for yourself. It was an interview that was being conducted in the city of Jerusalem. And the person being interviewed was one of the Orthodox Jews of the city who had made his way to the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem and was there praying. And the person was interviewing him, said, "Can you tell me what you're doing?" He says, "I'm praying for Jerusalem, my city, and for my people. I'm praying to God." And the person asked him, "Do you think it works?" He says, "Well, it works for 40% of the time." And he said, "Well, what about the other 60%? He says, "It's like talking to a wall." Well, sometimes when we pray, we have the same feeling. It's like talking to the wall, or that our prayers go no higher than the ceiling above our head. The scriptures give us an expression that has come into use in some ways, that the heavens are like brass. In other words, our prayers only go so high before they're bounced back to us. And we all struggle from time to time with unanswered prayers. It's not the first conversation that I've had with someone who has approached me and said, "Did not the Lord Jesus say, ask and it shall be given? Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be open unto you." Didn't the Savior say those things? Well, not having been born yesterday and being fairly confident of where the conversation is going, I sometimes like to play the prophet and say, "What prayer have you been praying that God has not answered?" Let's get to the very root of the matter. That's what you're asking. That's what you're coming to me about. There's a prayer that has been upon your heart, and you feel that God has not been answering. Maybe it's for a husband that's unconverted. Maybe it's for children that have gone off the rails. Maybe you've been praying for a job but can't find one. You've been praying for a relative who's sick, and yet nothing seems to have changed. You've been seeking guidance for your life, but none has come. And the list of lamentations go on and on, because we are all familiar with the mystery, I could even say the agony, of unanswered prayer. You have been praying and nothing seems to be happening. I'd like to address that subject this morning. I'd like to deal with it, and to give you some advice from the Word of God. And I trust that the Lord will bless these few thoughts to our hearts this morning. The first thing that we ought to consider when our prayers go unanswered is that maybe the prayer is wrong. And if the request is wrong, God will say no. God will say no. There is such a thing as an inappropriate prayer. I trust that you're aware of that. There are prayers that we can bring to God that are not appropriate. Peter, James, and John, three of the Lord's closest disciples, accompanied the Savior to the top of a high mountain, and there all of a sudden the glory of God descended upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and the three disciples stood there with open mouths, watching in awe as they witnessed the splendor of God revealed upon our Savior. And they were so taken with our Savior's transfiguration that they said, "Let us make three tabernacles, one for thee," that's for the Savior, "one for Moses, and one for Elias." Moses and Elijah had come and met and talked with the Savior on the Mount of Transfiguration. What they were basically saying to the Savior was this: "Let us build three shelters up here, and we'll just live and dwell the rest of our lives basking in your glory. Forget about all the people that are down at the bottom of the mountain. We'll stay here and rest and abide in your glorious presence." And what was the Savior's response? "No, I'm not going to grant you that request. We have got work to do down in the plains. We have to go back to where the people are. We can't allow you to stay up here and bask in the glorious sight that you have just seen." The answer's no. That's a wrong request. And so they went back down the mountain and carried on the work that the Lord had given them to do. James and John, again, on one occasion came to the Lord Jesus Christ, and they thought that they could make a reservation for the two best seats in heaven. They said to the Savior, "We'd like one on your left hand and one on your right hand. Perhaps you could arrange that for us." And again, the Savior has to take them aside and says to them, "Ye know not what ye ask. You don't realize what you're asking for. I'm not going to grant that request. It's a wrong request." In Luke chapter 9, James and John again are ministering in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're with the Savior. They're going through a village in Samaria, but the village would not receive the Savior. They would not come and listen to him, nor accept his word. And their denial angered the two disciples, so much so that they came to the Lord Jesus and requested permission for them to call down in prayer fire from heaven and to destroy the people. And again, the Lord Jesus, in answer to the request, we're told that he turned and rebuked them and said, "Ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." I haven't come to torch these people. I've come to transform them. And so here was another prayer request that was wrong. And when we offer wrong requests to the Lord is going to say, "No, no." Now you see the point that I'm making, that if the disciples, those men that lived and walked and talked with the Lord Jesus Christ every day, if those men were capable of making wrong prayer requests, then you and I are capable of doing the same. of asking for inappropriate things. We're all capable of asking the wrong things from God in prayer. I can only speak for myself, but I know that I have done it in the past. I'm probably doing it in the present, and I'll almost assuredly ask the wrong thing again in the future. But so many of our prayers are self-serving, are just materialistic, or we're looking something for our convenience sake, something short-sighted for the here and now without thinking of the consequences further down the line. Prayer requests that show our immaturity in the things of God. And just as a little child will come to their parents and ask for something, and the parents knows this isn't the right thing for you, this isn't the best thing, in fact the thing that you're asking for will only bring trouble to your life and difficulty, therefore I'm not going to grant it. Well, the Lord, as our Heavenly Father, loves us too much to say yes to our wrong requests. So if our request is wrong, God answers no. And let's remember, no is an answer. No is an answer. May not be the answer that we are wanting, but it's an answer from God. And I can, with hindsight, thank God for saying no to some of the prayers that I've offered in the past. I can thank God for it. I can thank the Lord for saying no to some particular request that, with hindsight, seemed very foolish now. So if you have been praying, and you've been praying earnestly about a matter, and you have sensed some resistance from heaven, I want to challenge you to do something. I want you to review what it is that you're asking for. That may be the problem. Maybe the thing that you're asking for isn't right. Maybe it's a cop-out on your part, an unwillingness to face up to the real issues. Maybe the request is destructive in ways that you haven't perhaps thought about or understand. Maybe it's self-serving or short-sighted. Or maybe it's too small. Maybe your request is too small and God has something better in mind for you. And the reason that he's saying no to your particular request is because he has something more to give you. We have to allow God to know more than we do, and to rest in what we call his omniscience, his complete knowledge of all things. And to realize that if the request is wrong, God is going to say no. And if that's the case, we review it, or we modify it, or we lay it to rest completely and leave it behind. So if the request is wrong, God is going to say no. If the timing is wrong, God is going to say, slow down. Parents can all testify to the fact that the worst word that a child, the word that a child hates to hear most of all, is the word no. No. Second to that are the words not yet. Not yet. You're leaving on a car journey that's going to take a number of hours to get there, and you're 15 minutes from home, and a little voice pipes up from the back of the car, "Are we there yet?" Not yet. We know what comes next. Groaning and moaning and complaining. Hurry up. Hurry up. And you know from 15 minutes into the journey, this is going to be a long trip. Because we don't like to wait. And yet sometimes God will ask us to wait. It's 4 days to little Johnny's birthday. And he comes to his mum and says, "Can I open my presents? It's close enough." "Not yet." Mumble, grumble, and complain. Children hate those words, "not yet." And guess what? There's a little child in each and every one of us. That little child that still wants God to meet every need that we have and to grant the request when? Now. It's part of the society that we live in. We live in an instant society. We have everything from instant coffee to instant food to drive-through restaurants. We want it, and we want it now. And we want God to answer every request that we bring to Him now. In fact, if He could answer it yesterday, that would even be better. And when we bring our request to the Lord in prayer, and we're seeking a matter before Him, and God says, "Not yet." Our response is one of childishness. "But I want it now. You don't understand how badly I need this now." Not 3 years from now, or 3 months from now, or 3 weeks from now, nor 3 days from now. I want it immediately. And in the same way that a parent cannot be intimidated or given to the childish tantrum that demands it now, neither will God. And for all of our kicking and screaming, God says, "Not yet." But it's essential for us to realize that when God delays, it's not a denial. It's not an outright no. It's God is saying, "Not yet. Trust me, I know what I'm doing. I have my reasons." That's what we read in Isaiah 55 this morning. The Lord saying, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." The thing that you're asking for might be good and proper and necessary and right, but for reasons known only to God, He simply chooses to say, "Not yet. I'll grant your request, but in my time, not yours." Again, I can't really tell you how many times I thought that my prayers were going unanswered, only to find that the Lord was saying, "Not yet. Just wait a little longer." Because God was orchestrating something greater than what I had faith to pray for in the beginning. I want to warn you to be careful that when you come to the Lord in prayer, that you don't insist that you know better than what God knows. That we demand what we want when we want it, and we want it now. Allow God to have His reasons for His delays. It may be that the Lord is developing some character trait within you, some patience. I often think when we pray for patience, the Lord gives us things to try our patience. When we ask for grace, the Lord gives us things in our life that require us to have more grace. It's the same as when you go to the gym in order to build muscles. You have to stretch the muscle. You have to strain it. You have to give it a weight to lift and to pull. The Lord is developing our character. And sometimes as human beings, we are more concerned about comfort than we are about building character. Waiting upon the Lord, trusting Him. How shallow our trust in God would be if we received everything instantly. You have to wait upon the Lord. The Lord is not interested in giving us immediate gratification. If you look back over your Christian life, I can assure you that the prayers that are sweetest in your memory are those that you've had to trust the Lord and wait upon Him for. If the request is wrong, the Lord will say no. If the timing is wrong, He'll say, slow down, not yet. But what if I'm wrong? Well, if I'm wrong, the Lord will tell me I need to grow. What do you mean if I'm wrong? What does that mean? I mean, it's a lot easier to point the finger at God for not answering our prayers than it is for us to look in the mirror and say, maybe I'm the problem. I wonder how many times we come to our unanswered prayer and we accuse God of being late or of tarrying, when really we might be better asking ourselves, is there something in my life that is a hindrance and a barrier to God answering that prayer? So when we're tempted to ask, why is God not intervening in my behalf? Look in the mirror. Maybe it's me. The psalmist David in Psalm 66 verse 18 said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. In other words, if I'm living a life that is one of disobedience to the word of God and to the ways of God, the Lord will not hear my prayers. If there are things in my life that are wrong in the sight of God, can I really expect God to come and answer my prayers before I get those things straightened out? The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 5 and verse 23, that if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, go thy way, first be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. If there's something wrong in our life, get it sorted out. If there's a sin that has crept into our life, get rid of it, repent of it, turn from it, because if we regard iniquity in our hearts, the Lord will not hear us. There is a direct relation between how we deal with other people, how we get on with other people, and how the Lord answers our prayers. You get to the altar. There you remember that there's someone, a brother, that has something against you. Go and be reconciled first of all. Broken friendships cuts off our relationship with the Lord. Do what you can to attempt a reconciliation. And then come and worship and pray. The Apostle Peter said in 1 Peter 3 and verse 7, he says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them, that is your wives, according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life. Why? That your prayers be not hindered. Of course, that could explain a lot of things right there. Relations between husbands and wives have an impact upon our prayers being heard and answered. In the book of Malachi in the Old Testament, in spite of clear instruction from God to bring only the best lambs for worship, the children of Israel decided to bring their best lambs to market to get top price for them. Then they would identify the worst lambs in their flock, those that were lame and blind, those that were no good for sale, and those they would offer unto the Lord. They brought their blemished lambs as offerings to the Lord. And God spoke to the people through the prophet Malachi and said to them, and the people came to Malachi saying, God hasn't been answering our prayers. I beseech you that to pray to God that he will be gracious unto us. This hath been by your means, will he regard your persons, saith the Lord of hosts. God hasn't been answering our prayers, Malachi. Why could that be? And God answers through Malachi, because you have been dishonoring me. You have been disobeying me. You've been bringing to me the worst lambs out of your flock, and yet you expect me to come and grant you the favours and requests that you're looking. You've got to be kidding. You mock me with your disobedience. God says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. If we regard iniquity in our hearts, the Lord will not hear us. So if our prayers are not being answered, we ask ourselves, is the request wrong? If it is, change it. Is the timing wrong? Then wait upon the Lord. Am I wrong? Is there something in my life that is hindering the answers to my prayers? Then we need to change it. We need to grow. If we are wrong, we need to grow. We need to put that sin away. We need to change that attitude. We need to reconcile that relationship. We need to soften our hearts and not be hardened towards others. We need to repent of our sins. We need to receive forgiveness. We need to grow in the things of God. The only thing that's standing in the way of our prayers being answered is ourselves. And God says, when you grow in that grace, then I'll open the floodgates. I'll pour out my blessings upon you. I'll answer your prayers. In the book of James, we're told that it is the fervent prayer of a righteous man, one who's right in the sight of God, that avails much. That's the powerful prayer, the righteous man's. If you want to pull out the plug and disconnect from the source of power, then allow sin into your life. Your prayers will not be heard. If the request is wrong, God will say no. If the timing is wrong, God will say slow. If we are wrong, God will say grow. You need to grow. When the timing is right, and the prayer is right, and we are right, God will say, let's go. We'll answer that prayer. I wonder if we really understand just how much God wants to work in our lives. How much he wants to bring about that change in what seems to be an impossible circumstance. To touch that person in our family that so badly and desperately needs a message from God. I tell you, when we get all of these things lined up, the right request at the right time, with the right attitude and the right spirit before God, God will answer that prayer. When his will has been sought and his name has been glorified, God will answer it. If our prayers are not being answered, we need to stop and examine and ask why. And let's be honest with ourselves, the problem is not with God. The problem generally is with ourselves. We come to one who is our Heavenly Father. And as fathers, you know that you have no greater joy than to be able to grant your children the requests that they bring, providing they are the right request at the right time and for their benefit. There's no greater joy or delight. So if you've got unanswered prayers, examine them carefully. Examine yourself. And as the Lord would, through His Spirit, teach us and instruct us, may we be willing either to modify our prayers if they're wrong, or to modify ourselves with God's help if we are wrong. And then simply to wait upon the Lord for his timing, because when all of these three things line up together, we will have the blessing of God. And we will be able then, with the words of our Saviour, to ask and know that it shall be given to us. Seek and we will find, and knock and it shall be opened unto us. May the Lord grant us that close walk with Himself, that unbroken fellowship with heaven, that clear access and communication with the throne of grace, and the windows of heaven opened, and the blessings of God poured out upon us. May the Lord bless us in our praying to Him. Let's bow for another prayer. Gracious God, we thank Thee that Thine ear is not heavy, that it cannot hear. Neither is Thine arm shortened, that it cannot save. We know that Thou art the same yesterday, today, forever. There is no diminishing of Thy power. There's no lack to Thine understanding. We know that all things are under Thy feet, and Thou art the sovereign ruler of all, and that Thou can do as Thou please. We realize that we have been granted a wonderful blessing to bring our requests and our petitions to the throne of grace, to seek that help in times of need. We thank Thee for the mediator between God and men, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask our Father that we might be often, continually at the throne of grace, seeking that communication and fellowship with heaven. And when it comes to those prayers that we have offered that, to our mind at least, seem to have gone unanswered, Lord, may we be willing to examine the prayers and the timing of it, and to examine our hearts before the Lord. And may we, like our Saviour before us, be willing to say, not my will, but Thy will be done. Oh, that the Lord will be glorified even in our praying, and that much praise will be brought to His name. Lord, instruct us, we pray, so that in the matter of unanswered prayer, that we are at least honest before the Lord, and willing to change that which is necessary, in order that we might have fellowship with Thee once more. Do be with us now and help us even in our closing praise, and to consider the things that we have heard today. And may Thy Holy Spirit be our teacher, bringing us ever closer to the Lord Jesus Christ, the One who died to save us from our sins. We ask for Thy blessing through Christ our Saviour. Amen.